Wake up, sleepyhead. It's that time again to get up out of bed. Welcome to the Java and Jesus Morning Show, where we brew some caffeinated Christianity for you. Good morning. My name is John Souza. I'm the pastor at the Salvation Army Church in beautiful downtown Rochester, New York. Good morning again. Thank you for joining in on the Java and Jesus Morning Show. Today, we are heading closer to Easter Sunday, which a lot of us like to call Resurrection Sunday. So I thought today would be appropriate to talk about the resurrection. In fact, we're going to look more closely at the rapture, which is part of the resurrection, the rapture. So we are going to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is the main chapter for the teaching on the rapture by the Apostle Paul. But first, I want to let you know that the Jews believed in the resurrection. In fact, the prophet Isaiah believed in the resurrection. Isaiah 26 says, "Your dead will live, he said, your corpses will rise, and you who lie in the dust of the ground, awake and shout for joy." Yes, Isaiah believed in the resurrection. The prophet Daniel believed in the resurrection. Daniel 12, verse 2, Daniel says, "Many who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, some to everlasting life and to others everlasting disgrace." The author of Psalm 49, I believe his name was Asaph, he wrote in Psalm 49:15 that the Lord will redeem my soul from the power of Sheol. Even Job believed in the resurrection. Job 19, verses 25 through 26, Job said, "As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at last he will take his stand on earth. And even after my skin is destroyed," Job said, "yet for my flesh I shall see God." You know, Jesus believed in the resurrection. Obviously, he said he is the resurrection. "I am the resurrection and the life," he said. "He who believes in me shall live even if he dies," in John 11:25. Jesus also said in John 6, verse 40, he said, "He who beholds me," or "he who beholds the Son and believes in him," Jesus said, "I will raise him up on the last day, and he'll have eternal life." The resurrection is so important, my friends. You know, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:17, that if Christ did not raise from the dead, then our faith is worthless. We are still dead in our sin. So the resurrection is very important. In fact, Romans 1:4, the word says, Jesus was declared the Son of God with power through the resurrection from the dead. So the resurrection is very important, the rapture. So 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18, I hope you have some Java in your cup. Again, get your Bibles opened up because we're going to be talking about a lot of scripture. You might want to have some paper and a pencil and take some notes here, but here we go. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." So what is the rapture? Good question. Well, the rapture, we see in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, it says, we will be caught up together. Well, if you're thinking about Elijah when the chariots of fire came down and snatched him to heaven, you're right about that. Perhaps in Genesis 5:24, you were thinking about Enoch. Enoch walked with God, and he walked in a manner pleasing with God, and God took him up. Also, Hebrews 11:5. They were snatched away powerfully. So we see precedent in the Bible of being snatched away powerfully. In fact, in Acts 8, Philip was translated, snatched away, and found himself over in Azotus. So we do see biblical precedent of saints being snatched away. The word caught up. In the Latin, the word is raptus, where we get the English word rapture from. So that's how we find the word rapture in the Bible. They will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord. So the rapture, being carried away. Now, some might say, well, we don't see the rapture in the book of Revelation. Well, I believe it is kind of found in the book of Revelation. It's kind of veiled, but many scholars believe. Revelation 4, if you want to turn there, Revelation 4, verse 1. We know in Revelation 1, we see this great image of Jesus, what Jesus looks like in his appearance after he rose from the dead. And then Revelation 2 and 3, we see the seven letters to the seven churches. And then in Revelation 4, we find John on the island of Patmos. And it says in verse 1, Revelation 4, after these things I looked, John said, and behold, a door standing open. And the first voice which I had heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was sitting in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. So we see John on the island of Patmos. All of a sudden he hears this voice, he hears this sound of this trumpet, and he hears the words, come up here. And immediately, folks, immediately, in the twinkling of an eye, he is in the Spirit. He is transformed, and he finds himself in heaven. From then on, we don't see the church on earth anymore. Every time we see in the book of Revelation the church, we find the multitude of saints up in heaven. Amen. So I believe, and many do, I'm not alone, that Revelation 4 verse 1 is really when the rapture takes place. And after that, starting in Revelation 6, you see the wrath of God being poured out. The great day of the wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Revelation 6:17. So that is what the rapture is. So my friends, so who is involved in the rapture? Well, as we saw in 1 Thessalonians 4, we see the Lord himself descends from heaven. So we see the Lord is involved in the rapture. Now, what did Jesus say in John 14:1-3? He said, let not your heart be troubled. Remember, let not your heart be troubled, but what? Believe in God, Jesus said. Believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you so. Then Jesus says, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. So Jesus is going to said, I'm going up to heaven. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And for the last 2,000 years, folks, he's been preparing a place for us. How great is that going to be? It's going to be much better than the Holiday Inn. And he says, if I go and prepare a place for you, he said, I'm going to come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you will be also. So it sounds like Jesus is up in heaven preparing a place for us. And he's coming back and he's going to meet the church, the saints in the clouds, and he's going to receive us and he's going to take us up to where he was. Amen. That's going to be heaven. Remember, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven, 1 Corinthians 15:50. So you got to be born again. You got to be transformed. Jesus, when he's coming back, we see he said in John 17:5, Jesus said, Father, restore to me the glory I had before the earth was. So Jesus is coming back, my friends, in his pre-incarnate glory. We know in Revelation 1, we see Christ described as his having hair white like wool. His eyes are a flame of fire. His face is like the sun shining into strength. His voice is like the sound of many waters. From his mouth comes a sharp sword. He holds in his right hand 7 stars. Wow, we know stars are big, and he holds 7 in his right hand. Christ is coming back in his glory. It's going to be an awesome sight. In fact, when John saw him in Revelation 1, it said he fell on his face like a dead man. So who's involved in the rapture? First of all, we see Jesus Christ himself descends from heaven. Amen. Also, it says the dead in Christ will rise. Amen. He will redeem our soul from the power of Sheol. The dead in Christ are going to rise. Jesus said, John 11:25, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. Wow. 1 Corinthians 15:51-53 says, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. This mortal will put on immortality, and this perishable will put on the imperishable. We're going to be changed like that at the last trumpet. And no, this is not the trumpet of the judgments in Revelation. This is the trumpet to call the saints home. This will be the last trumpet for the saints, because they're going to be up in heaven. They're not going to be on earth anymore to hear the trumpets of the wrath of God. Amen. And also, another point is, only the saints will hear the voice of Jesus Christ when he descends from heaven with the voice of the archangel and a shout. Because John chapter 8, verse 47, Jesus says, he who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you don't hear them because you're not of God. So only those who are of God, are born again, will hear God's voice, hear Jesus' voice. In fact, Jesus said in John 18:37, he who is of the truth hears my voice. So you got to be a Christian. You got to be born again if you're going to hear the voice, the shout when Christ comes back during the rapture. The other ones will be caught off guard. So who's involved? The Lord, the dead in Christ, and the living Christians. And what will our bodies look like? We are going to have glorified bodies. Philippians 3:20-21 says, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity of the body of his glory. Yes, right now we live in a humble body, man. Just look in the mirror as you get older. It's humbling. But he's going to transform us into the image of his glory. Amen. We are going to have different glories according to how we lived on earth. 1 Corinthians 15:35-44 talks about the sun, the moon, the stars, the heavens have different glories. And Paul says, so will we in the resurrection. The more faith you had, the more love you had, the more obedience you had, the more gloriously you will shine. Daniel 12:3 says, those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heavens. And those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever and ever. So we're going to have glorified bodies. And the glory we have is going to be according to the faith we had while we lived on this earth, folks. So what will our bodies look like? They'll be glorified. They're going to be like Christ. When we see him, we'll be just like him. We don't know right now what we are going to look like. 1 John 3:1-2. But when we see him, we're going to be like him. And we know Christ, he had a spiritual body when he came back. He was able to just appear in the room, walked right through the walls, didn't need a door, just boom, a spiritual body. And he also had a physical body. He said to Thomas, put your fingers in my hands and the scars in my hands. He had a physical body. He actually ate after his resurrection. So I believe we're going to have glorified bodies, we're going to have spiritual bodies, and we're going to have physical bodies. Amen. So when will the rapture take place? Well, you know what? Only God knows. Back in 1988, some author wrote why Jesus will appear in 1988, 88 reasons why. And guess what? 1988 came by and Christ did not come back. So the man wrote a new book in 1989, 89 reasons why Christ will come back in 1989. And again, he didn't come back because only God knows. Matthew 24:36. Jesus says, not even the Son of Man knows, but only God knows. But Jesus knows now, folks, because when he said this in Matthew 24:36, of course, he had emptied himself of his omniscience, his all-knowing. He took on the form of a man, Philippians chapter 2. So he didn't know exactly when Christ himself is coming back. But now that he's glorified, he knows all things. He's got his omniscience back, his omnipotence back, his omnipresence back. Christ himself, I believe, knows, because he knows all things. Only makes sense. Amen. But saints, we don't know exactly when he's coming. But folks, we can see the signs of the times. Just read Matthew chapter 24. It talks about the signs of the times of Christ coming back. And it says there'll be many who come to claim that they are the Christ. There will be offering different ways of salvation. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. Of course, we don't have that today, thank God. The nation's going to rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There's going to be famines. There's going to be earthquakes. Most people's love will grow cold. Lawlessness will increase. People will deliver up one another. Wow, it's not going to be a very pleasant time here. But also it says in Matthew 24:14, that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a witness to all nations. Then the end shall come. And I believe the rapture is the beginning of the end times. It's just the beginning of the end times. The actual day of the Lord is going to be the day of God's wrath, the day of the battle of Armageddon. And the New Testament talks about the second coming of Christ, when he comes back to the earth, not to the clouds for saints, but when he comes back to the earth at the Battle of Armageddon. The New Testament refers to the second coming of Christ over 300 times. Wow. So I believe it's going to happen. So why does the rapture happen? Why does the rapture happen? Well, first of all, it unites the saints with Jesus. He wants to be united with his brethren. Amen. John 14:18, Jesus, I will not leave you as orphans. Hebrews 12:2 says, for the joy set before Christ, he endured the cross and despised the shame. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. What kind of joy would you have going to the cross? We know in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed, Lord, take away this cup if possible, but not my will, but your will be done. Amen. That's a great prayer, folks. But what was the joy Jesus had going to the cross? Well, he knew that once he went to the cross, that after he rose from the grave, that he would one day resurrect the saints and he would be with his saints forever. Amen. And that was the joy, to be with the saints. So that's one reason why Jesus comes back and why the rapture happens, to unite the saints with Christ. Amen. Also, folks, listen, to escape God's wrath. This is why the rapture takes place, to escape God's wrath. That's why I believe the tribulation will happen after the rapture takes place. Romans 5, verse 9 says, having been justified by his blood, thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ, having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, Paul tells them, hey, wait for God's Son from heaven, whom God raised from the dead, who delivers us from the wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians 5:9, Paul says, God has not destined you for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read Revelation 3 here for a moment, if you don't mind. Revelation 3, verse 10, and this is the letter to the Philadelphia. And he says this in Revelation 3:10. He says, because you have kept the word of my perseverance, I also will keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell upon the earth. Amen. There's an hour of testing coming. And Jesus says, hey, if you're faithful, I will keep you from that hour of testing. So I believe the rapture takes place before the tribulation period when God pours out his wrath, because we're not destined for wrath. Amen? So why does the rapture happen? It unites the saints with Christ. It has us escape God's wrath. And thirdly, we also are going to receive new bodies, as I already talked about. We're going to get new bodies. We're going to be transformed. Amen? We're going to have an imperishable body, an immortal body, no longer subjected to temptation, no longer subjected to sin, no longer any tears, nor mourning, nor crying, nor pain. Those first things have passed away, and he's making all things new. Praise the Lord for that. One more reason I believe that the rapture takes place is because, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I believe that the church is the restraining force that the Apostle Paul talks about, that before the Antichrist comes, there has to be a restraining force taken away from the earth. And I believe that's the church, you know, full of the Holy Spirit. But when the church is gone, the Holy Spirit will still be working here, because there will be two witnesses, Revelation 11. There will be 144,000 witnesses, Revelation chapter 7. There will still be people getting saved, and they can only come to Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit will still be working, but he will not have the church here to work through. And all the prayers of the saints that we pray that God protect our country and protect our world and keep us righteous, all those prayers will now be removed and taken up to heaven. And then the restraining force is gone, and then the Antichrist comes on the scene, and God's wrath comes on the scene, and things are not very good, folks. You do not want to be down here. Amen? So why does the rapture happen? The saints are united with Christ. We escape God's wrath and receive new bodies. So what do you think so far? You agree? Do you not agree? That's up to you. That's your prerogative. But Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, that in the last days, mocks will come with their mocking, following after their own ungodly lust. And they'll be saying, where is the promise of Christ coming? Ever since the beginning of the world, all continues as it has been since the creation of this world. And they're going to mock the doctrine of Christ coming back. In fact, we know 2 Thessalonians 2:3 that Paul says there's going to be an apostasy taking place right before the coming of Christ. People are going to fall away from the faith. And I believe they're going to fall away from this doctrine of Christ coming back at any moment. We know in 2 Timothy chapter 3, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of self, lovers of pleasure, lovers of money. And it says they hold to a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. I believe they claim to be Christians, but they deny its power. And I believe they deny this doctrine of Christ coming back. In fact, Jesus said in Luke 18:8, he says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And how's it going to happen? Well, easily. Jesus said he comes in the clouds, and then he meets the saints in the clouds and takes us back to heaven. Do we have any biblical precedent of Christ coming with the clouds or going with the clouds? Yes, we do. Acts chapter 1, 9 through 11, when Christ was resurrected up to heaven for, you know, final time after spending 40 days on this earth, it says he was received in a cloud, and he went up in the cloud. Acts chapter 1, 9 through 11. And then the angel said, just as Christ went up in the clouds, that's how he's coming back. So he comes in the clouds, 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Also, how will the rapture happen? It will be in the twinkling of an eye. The twinkling of an eye, 1 Corinthians 15. I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, meaning we're not all going to be dead, all right? But we're all going to be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The last trumpet, the trumpet's going to sound. The dead will be raised imperishable. Quickly, And that fast, like a blinking of an eye. That's a quick action, folks. There'll be no time to repent when it happens. Boom, it's going to happen. And we know it's going to happen unexpectedly for sinners. They're not going to be expecting this doctrine. They're not going to be knowing what's going on. Jesus said in Matthew 24, the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah, as in those days which were before the flood. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage, and they didn't understand that a flood came and took them all away. He said, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. So be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not think he will. Wow. It's going to be unexpectedly for sinners when this happens. Let me turn to Luke chapter 21. So grab your Bibles. Go to Luke chapter 21. I'm going to grab myself a sip of this Java. All right, Luke 21, we're going to go to verse 31 through 36. It says here, Luke 21, 31 through 36, Jesus says, even so you, too, when you see these things happening, recognize that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard that your hearts may not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness, and the worries of life, and that day come on you suddenly like a trap. Wow. 35. For it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of all the earth. But keep on the alert at all times, praying in order that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Wow. These things are going to happen quickly. But we can escape all these things and stand before the Son of Man. So pray that you have strength. Pray that you stay alert. Amen. So the rapture is going to happen quickly. Christ comes in the clouds. So now, importantly, why does the rapture happen? Mark 13, 33 through 37. Take heed. Keep on the alert, for you do not know when the appointed time. It is like a man away on a journey who, upon leaving his house, and putting his slaves in charge, assigned to each one his task, also commanded the doorkeeper to stay on the alert. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening, at midnight, at cockcrowing, or in the morning, lest he suddenly come and find you asleep. But what I say to you, I say to all, be on the alert. So the doctrine of the rapture, when the master comes, should keep us alert. Amen? If you believe in the doctrine of the rapture, that Christ will show up at any time, you're going to stay alert. You're going to stay awake, right? Also, it should keep us holy. 2 Peter, as I'm turning there, 2 Peter chapter 3, if you don't mind. 2 Peter 3, starting at verse 10, says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, on account of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will be melt with intense heat. But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. We're not looking for the tribulation, folks. And then 1 John 3, verses 2 and 3 says, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope, the hope of the rapture, the hope of Christ coming back, everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. Amen? So the doctrine of the rapture should keep us alert, keep us holy, keep us pure. In fact, 1 John 2:28 says, abide in Christ, so when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. You see, I believe the rapture is very important. It's when the saints are caught up to heaven with the Lord. We know the dead in Christ and those who are alive will be going. We're going to get glorified bodies. We don't know exactly when it's going to happen, but we know that we can see the signs of the times. And when the rapture happens, the saints were united with Christ. We escape God's wrath. We receive new bodies. The restraining force is taken away. Now God can pour out his wrath. We know Christ is coming in the clouds in the twinkling of an eye. And we know because of this doctrine, we need to stay alert. We need to stay holy, and we need to stay pure. So I pray you've been motivated to live a holy, godly life and to keep your eyes on the skies. So I want to say thank you again for listening to the Job and Jesus Morning Show. Again, this is Pastor John Soza with the Salvation Army in Rochester, New York. I pray these are words of comfort. God bless you. Have a great Resurrection Sunday when it comes. Amen.